part of our body flies. You know, sometimes, ladies, your eyes stare at us, your husbands, and we can tell we've done wrong. And Eunice is already nodding away. The glare. And sometimes Avril says to me, "Was that a glare, Edward?" And I wink. And then she's encaptured and enthroned in the embrace of those beautiful eyes as they reflect. They turn her into jelly. But sometimes our eyes do tell us an awful lot about each other, don't they? Have you ever talked to someone and you know they're not looking at you? You know what I'm saying, Margaret? On a Monday when I'm trying to talk to you, on a Monday, and you're carrying on with Janet when you should be doing the Bible study. By the way, we're starting Joshua tomorrow. So if anybody's interested, we start at 11:30 with coffee and cake or whatever it is, and we're doing the book of Joshua tomorrow. So, but your eyes do tell us an awful lot, don't they? Our eyes. I mean, we know about our tongue, but our eyes too can be used either for the glory of God or not. And there's a scripture in Matthew 6:22. And it's this scripture here. Let's read it together, shall we? The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your body will be full of light. And this is Jesus' words. And what Jesus was actually saying is the application is this. The eye, if it's healthy, then it has one desire only, and that's God's interests. And that's what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying, if your eye is healthy and full of light, then you're looking at the things of God. In other words, your whole life is flooded with His light. His light. And Jesus was saying, one of the things you need to do to help you fix your eyes upon Jesus. Paul says, I'm in a race, and you're in a race, Janet. We're all in a race. And the race is the journey that the day you came to know Jesus, your Savior, you began a race. It's called the journey of life. He that's begun a good work in us, He'll continue that good work. He'll continue that work. Relax, friends, you're not in a sprint. You're in your whole life is, and your Apostle Paul is saying the problem with this journey is people get tripped up. How many people just get tripped up? I was watching Pointless the other day, and Roger Black or somebody was on. He was an athlete, and he used to run and jump over hurdles. I'm not sure whether he's Roger Black or Roger. But anyway, and this happens. What happens when you bump your knee and the hurdles fell? You just got up and you ran on and you didn't go, "Ooh, mummy, put some." I don't know what you call it. Anyway, gets there. Salvon, is it Salvalon or whatever it is? Savalon. Don't swear at me. Savalon. I thought that was a sausage. Well, rub some of that on. But anyway, what Paul was saying is, listen, when you fall down as you will, get yourself up, go to that finishing line. Go to that finishing line. Let your journey end by fixing your eyes upon Jesus. Because we're all going to fall. We're all going to tumble. But don't let that your race. God is for us, not against us. God loves to pick us up when we fall down. God loves to intervene in our lives in times of trouble. I love the Simon Garfunkel song, but I believe it's true. He is a bridge over troubled water. People say, well, sometimes, you know, your God doesn't heal you and He allows you to die as if that is some huge negative. No, I don't understand why God doesn't heal everybody. We had a wonderful testimony at Costa Coffee last week from Trish. She'll never come to the point where she understands why her little 5-year-old grandson was taken into heaven. But I don't understand God yet. And today, we get there with the angels going around heaven with all the toys in the world, and we don't want to do stuff anymore. Because it's not the end of it. his eyes fixed on Jesus. She gave a wonderful testimony of how he knew Jesus. Oh yes, I tell you how he said it then. He knew he was God, but he knew Jesus. I wasn't supposed to be speaking this, by the way. But that was a little boy, and the minister went to see him. And he used to hold his fingers like this. And he said to his mom, why did you keep doing this? She said, because I read to him in Psalm 23 the other day. And ever since I read that psalm, he keeps saying, the Lord is, and he holds his finger, my shepherd. Oh, 2 weeks later, he went into the presence of Jesus with his filled his finger. When the Lord is our shepherd, hold on to it. Hold on. Don't let people tell you and persuade you anything else. If you know Jesus and you're a follower of Jesus, then he's your shepherd, and you shall not want. And he shall lead you into green pastures. Those green pastures may not be on this planet, but it's a richer and a greener pasture way over on the other side, where the eternity of God reigns, and where you and I will one day end up for all eternity. Fix our eyes upon Jesus. And it's difficult at times. Last year I took my eye off the ball. I still believe I took my eye off the ball in a lot of senses of last year with what happened with Andrew. But I have to say that my faith grew through it. Because the only thing I could turn to was Jesus. He's the only one I can turn to. Jesus. James Taylor sings a wonderful song, You Got a Friend. And I forget what the chorus is, winter, summer, spring or fall. All you have to do is call and I'll be there. Yes, I will. You've got a friend. Do you know that one, Wendy? Well, go up and sing it now. No, no. We'll have that at the next karaoke. Winter, summer, spring or fall. All you've got to do and I will be there. Yes, I will. You can. Father, and I want to encourage you today, in all seriousness, in a world which is vastly changing, we have a hope above all hope. Where were we, Katie? We're nowhere near where we're supposed to be, are we? But this whole series is about being healthy. It's about being healthy, healthy in our tongue. And we speak to people. And seriously, with our eyes, there's nothing worse than we're trying to speak to somebody. And you can see that they're nowhere near interested. The body language tells you, the body language says, I wish you would do that with my boy. Isn't it? No, seriously. There's nothing worse. Nothing worse. Be a positive this morning. Wants us so much that he wants us to gaze and gaze on him. And we've just sung it, that the things of this world, and that's what that verse is about, that thing. Oh, sorry. How do we see in the natural? So I did a bit of research. And the research is this. One thing that makes vision so amazing is that we don't actually see with our eyes. And that's a shock. You don't actually see with your eyes, but rather you see with your brains. So you must have brains, Margaret. Don't let anybody tell you. Well, I don't know where they are either. Sorry, I didn't say that. But listen. Our eyes are merely the beginning of a visual process. It is the combination of the eye and the brain that translates light waves into the sensation we call sight. So there's two things needed in the natural. Two things needed in the natural for you to see. One is that obviously you need to see your eyes, which gives you the Right? But your brain needs to translate that what you see into something visual. So you need brains and you need that light. So if seeing physically involves much more than just opening our eyes and looking around, two key things must be present: light and the ability to translate that light into something comprehensible. He's the guy that I did research on, so I'm trusting that he's right, by the way. So I don't know what his name is. Is it Andy McLean? It sounds Scottish to me, like, so I'm not sure. But anyway, those are the two key things he said we must have. Now that's in the natural. But you and I need to see in the spiritual, because we fix our eyes upon Jesus. We can't see Jesus in the natural. We need to have Jesus in the spiritual. And so hopefully the next diagram might help us. First, we must have the light of God's truth. In other words, we must listen to what God's word has to say. That's why reading the Bible is important. That's why if you've never become a Christian, you go into a meeting and then somebody tells you something, you've heard the word of God, but that doesn't save you. It's when the Holy Spirit illuminates what that person has said, then you know that you have to make a decision for Jesus. In other words, nothing that I say will ever make a heap of difference with you. But if the Holy Spirit enlightens what I say, then there's a chance. Two things you need for your sight. You need brains and eyes for the natural. Two things you need for the spiritual sense is you need to hear God's word, and then you need the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit to make that word come to light. That's why Jesus said, I am the... Jesus was saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. In other words, God was saying, are you listening to me? I am the light of this world. That would not suffice. The Holy Spirit had to then engage the words of Jesus and make them come alive. Because I heard those words when I was in Sunday school from about 6 to 7 year old. They didn't mean anything. I could quote them all day. And that is why the difference is we need the Holy Spirit. We cannot fix our eyes upon Jesus unless we have the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. Next one, Katie. God's Spirit must work with our minds to begin to help us understand His Word. Without this step, light is meaningless. Light is meaningless. And that is why before you read your Bible, you should ask the Holy Spirit to give you revelation. Because you're just reading a book. Unless the Spirit of God reveals it. Seriously. We need the Holy Spirit, and we need, though, to listen to the Word of God. When people say to me, you know, there's no time to read the Bible, well, how on earth do you get enlightened? How do you know more about fixing your eyes upon Jesus? That's why the Bible's so good. That's why the apostle wrote letters, you know. The reason we have the Bible is because Paul knew that these people didn't have a Bible, so he wrote a letter to help them become better at their Christian walk. And we're indebted to the Corinthian church for a wonderful letter, although it's full of deeds going on that is obviously not good, but unless we'd had that, we would not have known how to have a church structure, how to have enlightenment. The Bible is the Word of God and must be read. But God can also give us enlightenment as we walk down the street. And seriously, Avril and I came back from holiday, and Billy Fennin rang me and he says, I want to see you. And I thought, oh dear. He says, I want to see you. And I just stopped for a moment, and suddenly I just felt the word of God dropping it to say, Eddie wants to start you on your journey and make you an elder. And I said to Avril, I think Billy's going to ask me to be an elder. And Avril says, no, I don't think so, but we better go. So we jumped in the car and we went to see Billy, and that was his first words. He took me in the kitchen, he said, I think it's time you became an elder. The Spirit of God dropped it. Now, that doesn't happen very often, by the way. I wish it did. But it doesn't, but it does happen at times. I wanted to know whether I should leave the church I was in. It's a big, big church in Redden. And I came out of Billy's office and I said to God, you've got to give me a word, God. You've got to do something for me, God, because I need an answer to my prayer. And I sat down just outside of Billy's office reading the scripture, and the Bible just flooded in. I will make you the head, not the tail. That's all it said. I'll make you the head, not the tail. Went in to see Billy. He said, well, that's obviously, at the moment you're the tail because you're the assistant minister. God's obviously wants to launch you now to be in your own. the head in that sense. Do you hear what I'm saying? I just felt the Spirit of God dropping in me, and then Billy did everything he possibly could to get rid of me. I think he paid this church £5,000. Church didn't say it, but Rob did. So that's how you stuck with me, Margaret. And that's why you see, if God calls you, don't take notice of anybody else. If God calls you, God's called you. Stand on what God has to say. And I want to ask you, do you have the light of God's truth in us? Do you? Do we have the light of God's truth in us? Because if you have, everyone will see it. Everyone will see it. The problem with the Pharisees, they were hypocrites. They were trying to perform something they weren't. And the world is trying, full of people who are trying to tell us one thing but are completely different. And God says, you're not to be like that. You're to be authentic. You ought to be authentic. In everything you do, you ought to be authentic. You ought to be the light of the world. And so God's Spirit must work with our minds to begin to help us to understand His Word. It must. Without this step, light is meaningless. The Holy Spirit is as much like our physical retina that translates light into electrical signals that the brain can interpret it. So God's Spirit provides the interpretation or translation that allows us to understand spiritual truths. We need the Holy Spirit, not because that we're wacky and weird on the Holy Spirit. We believe we need the Holy Spirit that was given by Jesus so that we can be a light to a world and to ourselves. Jesus said, I will not leave you orphans, I will send you someone exactly like me. The Holy Spirit's exactly like Jesus. And if the disciples needed Jesus, you and I need Jesus. We needed Jesus. And thank God we have a resurrected Jesus. And He sent us the Holy Spirit. He has sent us the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to read God's Word, because now we're starting a sermon. We're probably only going to do another 5 minutes and then we'll close. Final for that man in the front. Final. George. No, sorry, it's not. It's Edna. Would you just read it?
Concerning the man of God got up, and went out early the next morning, and armed with 40 chariots, he went to the city. Tell my Lord, what shall we do in a certain task? Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around
Elisha. There's an important principle here. And that is what the word God gave me, which I put in our ABM time and time again in my report for those who read it. The word is perspective. Both Elijah and his servant were looking at the same thing, but had different perspectives. There was a big army. That was natural. There was a big army in front of them. And there's an important principle. You see, how you view things determines how you're going to act. If you truly do believe that God is the master of every situation in your life, that is what you will believe, that is what will reflect. And whatever you see, natural external circumstances of your life, you will still believe that there is a supernatural that can influence your problems. You will believe that. Why do you think we have prayer requests? But prayer requests, because we seriously believe that in the natural we've got an issue that has to be solved, but can only be solved in the supernatural. That's where our perspective lies, isn't it? Why? Because it's in a risen Saviour, isn't it? Seriously. I'm not joking here. It's one when you get some grits on life here. Because to deny the troubles you're going through in this earth is to live in cuckoo land. If you're going through something, you're going through something. And we get Christians who super spiritualize everything. Friend, if you're suffering with a disease or something, that you're suffering with it. I'm not saying you have to accept it, but you have to understand that that's what you're going through. That's the journey, that's the moment that you're going through. And the journey for this man was there was an army standing in front of him which looked as if it was going to devour them. There was nothing wrong with what he said. Elijah's servant said, "Oh, master, what am I going to do?" He said, "It's natural." He wasn't denying the circumstances that was there. What are we going to do? We're going to be... But Elisha, you see, was looking through the spiritual eyes of God. It was a different perspective. What he saw was the army of God. What was the army of God? He believed God's word, but you see, that wasn't enough for Elisha's servant. He needed enlightenment. Elisha could have said to him all day, "Can't you see God's glory?" Needed the Holy Spirit's revelation. Elijah's servant was terrified, and so he shouldn't be. And how often have we cried in the natural, terrified of our situation? Don't deny it, it's real. What I'm saying to you this morning is that there is a place we need to look at, and that is the Lord who resurrected, who understands our needs, understands our needs. Who loved us so much he was prepared to put two holes in his hands and in his feet, that you and I might have a relationship with him this morning. This is what he says. He says, "Do not think." How often did Jesus say that? It was one of his favourite words in scriptures. "Do not fear. Be not alarmed. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God." Believe also in who? In me. Have a perspective. I'm going to prepare them. And when I go, I'm coming. You've got it. Then let it enlighten you. Let the Holy Spirit enlighten you. That death is not the end. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. He's often said, "Don't be afraid." In the midst of storm in the boat, Jesus said, "Be afraid." Jesus said, "Margaret, I'm going to take you to the other side." So if Jesus says, "I'm going to take you to the side," where are you going? Where are we going? I'm serious, do we really believe it? Oh, I'll be honest, it's not true. We believe what we're saying. If Jesus says, "I'm taking you to the other side," where are you going? Just his word we've got to believe. We've got to have that enlightenment from the Holy Spirit to believe that word. And that's why the Pharisees could never get into the kingdom of God. They said, "Go and search the scriptures." And Elisha's servant said this as we finally finished. "I pray, open your eyes that he might see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he saw. It was always there. He couldn't see it. "Open up my eyes," we sung. Didn't we sing it? What? "See the glory of..." Open up my eyes, see the glory of the Lord. Sometimes you need to say that, friends. My situation is real, Lord. Open up my eyes. Let me see the glory of God. Let me fix my eyes on Jesus. And as soon as Elisha prayed that prayer, open up his eyes. What a beautiful picture that man saw. He saw thousands of the Holy Spirit angels, and thousands of angels surrounding them. They were going to be more than conquerors through Christ. Through Christ. We simply must have our eyes opened. What about those on the road to Emmaus? On the road to Emmaus, they said, "Haven't you been around Jesus?" They said they didn't know it was Jesus. They said, "Haven't you been around here and not knowing what's happened?" And so Jesus walked a couple of miles with them. And they were complaining about how Jesus should have done this, that, and that. But he couldn't see him. He was standing beside them. And he said he got into the house and he broke bread. And he opened up their eyes. And they left their bread and their bottle of wine and they ran back to Jerusalem. the risen Lord. What about Stephen? As they were throwing, as Stephen was giving his testimony, he says, I can see Jesus. I can see him. And they dragged, they went nuts. And I'll finally finish with this. My mom went to see my dad. He was 35-year-old. He was dying of cancer. And she went in and he said, Eleanor, I'll see you in the morning. And my mom said, no, I'll see you tomorrow night. I come on in the evening. I don't visit in the morning. I come on in the evening, my love. She said, no, I'll see you in the morning. He said, I cannot see you. He's waiting for me. The nurse came into the room and said, don't worry, Mrs. Lawrence. Cancer has really got a hold of him now. We have to live. Can't you see him? My mother. And when she got there, she didn't have telephones those days. Welcome home, welcome home. And this missionary got off the plane and he said to Jesus, Jesus, I've served you for 30 years. And no one, not even a friend has come to say welcome home to me. I've had no ticket. No one's screaming and shouting welcome home. And as he was going through the terminal, he heard Jesus say these words, but you're not home yet. You're not home yet. See, we have this fixed station that this is home. Friend, this is not home. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. Next time you're going to look at believing and seeing, they're two different things in the eternal realms of God. Seeing and believing are two different things. Believe me. We say seeing is believing, don't we? And I went to my father-in-law's 90th birthday yesterday, and then they've got this massive house, and outside their house is the River Thames with all the boats. And someone walked along the road. Yep. One walked along the road. And as they go along the road, I saw this man like this. And I stopped to look. And it was Glenn Hoddle. And most of the family would be saying, who? I was saying, Glenn Hoddle. What a footballer he was. He was England's manager. What a fabulous footballer. And I said, I'm certain. Seems believing. I thought, is it right? Because you know what I'm saying? You think, that's it. And so we walked past him. And then after a walk, we turned around to go back home. He's sitting on a seat. And so I said, excuse me. And he took the, I don't think it was his deputy, I think he had the radio. And he took his thing out and he said, yes. I said, excuse me, I don't want to be rude, but are you Glenn Hoddle? He said, yes, I am. I said, well, what a privilege it is for you to meet me. I said, oh, Glenn, immense footballer. Oh, great. I said, how are you doing? He was on television and had a heart attack and died. And that's why he's walking so slow. And he said, Eddie, I'm doing all right. And I said, do you think I'll ever see you again on... not like that. Do you think I'll ever see you again on television? He said, well, I'm really hoping so. Anyway, we had a little bit of a chat. And seriously, I just said, love to meet you. Enjoy the rest of your day, Glenn. And I walked back to home. But what I'm saying is seeing is believing, isn't it?
but not in the spiritual sense, but we're going to leave it there. In the spiritual sense, believing is seeing. Believing. You cannot see God unless first of all you believe it. Do you know that? You believe God's word, and then what will be delivered? Hallelujah. That's spiritual vision for you. So don't say seeing is believing. Believing is seeing. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sin. The moment I believed that, I took that step with the Holy Spirit and illuminated and said, the Lord Jesus spoke about it. That's where Father in heaven, we thank you today that Father, Lord, we've got a hope built in nothing less than Jesus. A resurrected Jesus. Whether I understand your word, Father, or not, because there are times I don't understand the Bible. In many sense, Lord, that doesn't really matter in the sense that I still have a faith in a resurrected Jesus. I would ask that when I read the Bible, Lord, the Holy Spirit would illuminate what I believe. So that I might say, well, I believe what I see. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. We're going to sing a final song. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to sing.